All right, everybody, it's here. The March to Spring Training and Opening Day is officially upon us. Hey, I'm Rob Bradford from Baseball Isn't Boring, and we'll have you covered every single day with instant reactions to late-breaking signings, determining which players are, yes, truly in the best shape of their lives, and behind-the-scenes stories from all the excitement and intrigue that spring training brings. Follow Baseball Isn't Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, folks. I just want to say congratulations to Kellen Moore. We wish him the best. I'm already a fan. I don't know about you, but I've kind of watched his career a little bit. And I think it's an exciting time for the Saints organization. We knocked that out of the park as it relates to the execution for Super Bowl 59. Congratulations to everyone. We are joined now by Rafael Goyeneche, president of the Metropolitan Crime Commission. Rafi, I know you had your eye on the safety and security and the execution of the plan. Your thoughts?
Well, right. I mean, yesterday I was listening when you had Michael Heck on to talk about, you know, all of the positive publicity and all the hard work that went into that Super Bowl. And it's well-deserved. I mean, we hit it out of the ballpark as you led off. But all of that positive publicity would not have been possible without the collective efforts of federal, state, and local law enforcement that provided the safe and secure environment for the game and all the festivities during the week leading up to the game. So you know better than most, because you've been a part of Super Bowl planning, the amount of communication, collaboration, and coordination that goes into it. And Kirkpatrick held a press conference at the beginning of the week saying that there were over 2,900 law enforcement officers deployed in the city during the week leading up to the Super Bowl. You know, you put that many people together from dozens of agencies, it just doesn't come together without the collaboration, coordination, and cooperation. And that's a monumental task to pull that off as seamlessly as it was. And as I said, you know, you've lived it and been a part of that. You know the planning and coordination that goes into that. And with that numbers of officers to be here, in light of the, you know, the tragedy that occurred on January the 1st, to see where we started the year, and to see how we were able to quickly pull together everything. Yes, most of the hay was in the barn for the Super Bowl as far as planning goes before January the 1st. But what happened after January the 1st made everybody take and re-examine everything that they've done leading up to the Super Bowl. And there were some new additions made. We had a little hiccup with the president deciding to come to town that added, you know, some more complexity and changed some things around. But everybody responded to it. Everybody pulled it off flawlessly. And, you know, what we're looking at is for the week of the Super Bowl, citywide, there are only 10 major violent felony incidents citywide. One homicide, one wow. non-fatal shooting.
That's for an entire week.
Six armed robberies. That's for the entire city.
Yeah, for the entire week.
Yep.
That's
record-breaking
for sure. Yep. You know, I couldn't help but draw the similarities of what Kellen Moore was saying about, you know, the experience set, right? And you're going to different things. It seems to me that we now know the experience set of what this security plan, the French Quarter Enhanced Security Zone that has been developed and will be utilized again for Mardi Gras, which if you've ever had any doubt about security and feeling safe and secure and coming to the city, a lot of people in the metropolitan area don't come for a whole host of reasons. Well, if you want to revisit the city, there's no better time than this Mardi Gras, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, you know, that enhanced security zone was one of the byproducts of the January 1st terrorist attack. So that was something that on January the 1st wasn't going to be a consideration. But after that, to pull that off in the manner that it was, and, you know, most of the people that came into town spent a significant amount of time either in the convention center perimeter, the warehouse district, the French Quarter, and Canal Street. And many of those people also took a stroll down Bourbon Street. And, you know, that was something that I think I'm just so impressed the way law enforcement pulled this off, you know, and that's just not the city of New Orleans. Yes, the city of New Orleans was instrumental in that, but so was the governor. So were many of the sheriffs from around the state that sent assets down here and contributed to this. And, of course, all the federal agencies that worked together with the local and state assets, including the state police. I almost forgot them for a second. It's easy to overlook because, you know, they're so quiet in the way that they go about their work, but they are true professionals, and none of this would be possible without their efforts. And so I think that, you know, as great as the game was, and you know, it was a great event for the city of New Orleans, it was also, I think, an outstanding collective effort by law enforcement to lay the foundation for New Orleans's hospitality and culture and, you know, the people of the city to join in celebrating and showing off our city to the world. And that would not have been possible without law enforcement.
I was really impressed with the amount of assets that were here, not human capital. I'm just talking about physical assets, the barriers and a lot of the other preventive measures. There seemed, I recognized right away the strategic nature of where they were placed. Obviously, there was a lot of thought given to that. You know, the French Quarter on a good day is a nightmare to meander through there in a vehicle. You know, and it's hardly going to get any better, obviously, with each remedial measure that you take. But, you know, if you do it right for the right times and things of that nature, you can gain a better understanding of how things work. I'm sure there's going to be after action that's done on what was deployed. It's a learning process, and probably what will be deployed for Mardi Gras, maybe even better.
Right. I agree. So, you know, we saw the French Quarter in enhanced security zone. You know, we saw how a Sear 1 event like the Super Bowl was responded to, and this will be our first Mardi Gras as a Sear 1 event. So you talked about some of the delays and traffic and whatnot. So with increased security comes some increased inconvenience. And, sure. You know, we're going to see some things different that happen along the Mardi Gras parade routes. But as you said, you know, law enforcement's first objective is to make this as safe and secure for the public as humanly possible. They can never eliminate all threats. They want to mitigate and reduce the potential for any threats. And by doing that means that, you know, where everyone is comfortable with the way Mardi Gras has been, this is going to be a different Mardi Gras. There are going to be some things that are different, and the public will just have to realize that law enforcement is not being arbitrary. They're trying to ensure everybody's safety. And as time goes by, you're right, you know, we'll morph and adapt to the realities of what our culture is and what Mardi Gras is like. But the public is also going to have to adapt. And as they learn the new, you know, rubric and the new policies and everything, the public will adapt to it. And I have no doubt that we will ease into a new style of Mardi Gras, not appreciably different from what it was, but certainly more secure than what we've done in the past.
And for the most part, it's been mostly safe in the past, with some exceptions, you know, every year. That, and That's not unusual in and of itself either. All right, we got to get to a break. We're visiting with Rafael Goyeneche, president of the Metropolitan Crime Commission. We will be right back, folks. Stay with us.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
All right, folks, we're back. We're visiting with Rafael Goyeneche, president of the Metropolitan Crime Commission. You may remember a while back there was a lot of controversy about a promotional list and a process that was adopted by the NOPD. And for a long time, there had not been promotions in certain rank categories. And it came under a lot of scrutiny, and it went through a process. And recently, there were a number of reports out that came out about this, and it looks like they're back on track. And Rafi, your thoughts?
Right. So last October, we talked about on your show the fact that the mayor had paused the promotions for captains and majors. As you just indicated, it's been 34 years since the NOPD has promoted anyone to the rank of major. So under the consent decree, the police department and Department of Justice and the federal monitors sat down and met to make sure that the process was put into place would be fair and unbiased. And a process was approved. That process was followed. The ranking and the testing was a two-pronged approach. First, the applicants for captain and major would take a written test that would include multiple choice answers and essays. And then the deputy chiefs would review the personnel files, work histories, and annual evaluations of the applicants and rate them. So the test scores from the written test and the evaluations of the deputy chiefs would be combined to compile the list of officers from the highest scoring to the lowest scoring. And that list was prepared in October. The mayor looked at the list and said that she was concerned that there was bias exhibited by the deputy chiefs in rating the applicants for the majors test and for the captain's test. And she ordered the promotional process to be paused. So Superintendent Ann Kirkpatrick is now facing a dilemma. Her appointing authority has ordered that the process be paused or halted because of bias. You have officers who are waiting for and have gone through the entire process, waiting to determine who's going to be promoted. So now they are in limbo. You have the police associations that were saying, what proof do we have of any bias? Where is the bias? So all of this is being pushed on Ann Kirkpatrick. And what she did is an example of her experience. She immediately decided to bring in a panel of outside experts, subject matter experts of law enforcement. And this panel of assessors were going to review the same data that was reviewed by the deputy chiefs. And they were going to rate the applicants first to last, and all of that. And then Anchor Patrick was going to look at the assessment from the outside assessment panelist and compare that with the rankings provided by the deputy chiefs. And what she committed to do was, if there wasn't significant disparity between the outside panelists and deputy chiefs, she was going to use the rankings provided by the deputy chiefs. So she quickly pulled that together and brought that panel in. They did the rankings using the same personnel files, work histories, and annual evaluations, and came up and confirmed that the assessments of the deputy chiefs were the same assessments that were provided by the outside panelist.
They were exactly
that
the
information.
Same?
Pardon me?
Were they exactly the same? That's incredible.
Well, I know.
Or mostly.
I know. There was now, included in the assessment, because of the claim of bias, the Federal Monitor decided to take a look at all of this as well. One of the things the Monitor found that neither the NLPD deputy chiefs or the outside assessment panel, apparently there was one disciplinary record from one of the candidates for major that was not in the personnel jacket. That was added into it, and they, we re-ranked in that. So the assessment between the two different panels, NLPD and outside assessors, were the same. The rankings were shifted by one person for that one candidate to take into consideration the disciplinary record that had been omitted from the original packet. So that was presented to the court, and the court last Friday ordered that the promotional process move forward. So, Ann Kirkpatrick quickly responded to the allegations of bias by the mayor, but after bringing in that panel and comparing it with the results that were compiled by the deputy chiefs, she basically confirmed that there absolutely was no bias. Now, after the process was paused, what ensued after the mayor pausing the process were a number of anonymous complaints alleging that
before
there was
you go
cheating.
There, before you go there, okay. Rafi, I want to make this observation because you and I were on the same page on this. I was incredibly angry at the mayor. Because what she did is attack the credibility and the integrity of her own deputy chiefs.
Right.
And I want to make sure that this does not go unnoticed. Because they had outside assessors come in as well as the monitor and embrace the notion that they handled it with integrity and credibility. And they handled it appropriately, like the professionals that you know and I know that they are. And that I think that needs to be said.
Absolutely. You're 100% agreement.
So I just wanted, because I thought it was really a weird moment, right, for the mayor to attack her own deputy chiefs. I mean, it was like, what? What are you doing? You know, I couldn't get over that. But I'm glad that it proved out that they were right. All right, we'll pivot to the cheating allegations when we come back. We're visiting with Rafael Goyeneche, president of the Metropolitan Crime Commission. Stay with us. Welcome back, folks. We are visiting with Rafael Goyeneche, president of the Metropolitan Crime Commission. Rafi, you were saying earlier that after this process started, they were starting to receive allegations about cheating that took place on the part of the officers that took the promotional exams.
Exactly. So the city commissioned a national firm to devise the test for captains and majors. As I said, it's been over 30 years since anyone has promoted the rank. They didn't have a test for major. So they paid this firm to do it. The firm then presented the test to civil service, not to the police department. And the test was administered by civil service, and their scores were computed by civil service using the scorecards that were provided to them by the testing firm. So after the mayor paused the process for bias on the part of the deputy chiefs, a number of anonymous complaints were received alleging that some of the candidates had access to the test and the answers, and they cheated on the test. So, again, another example of Ann Kirkpatrick and her experience. Rather than, since this matter involved, you know, the police department, she couldn't have internal affairs do it. She didn't want to bring in an outside private law firm to do it, so she asked the Inspector General's office to conduct the investigation. The Inspector General's office accepted the engagement and completed their findings, presented in a letter to the court, Judge Morgan, last week, saying that their investigation into the allegations of cheating yielded no actionable evidence or merit, said that termed the allegations as unfounded. The Inspector General's office publicly enlisted the cooperation of anyone from the police department that had any viable information about cheating to provide it. No one responded to it. The Inspector General's office requested to interview the mayor to see if she or any of her staff had any information. Their request to interview the mayor was denied by the mayor. She elected not to cooperate. So they issued the letter to the court, and they will be issuing their full report in the next week or two, documenting everything that they did and all of their findings. So essentially now, there was no proof of cheating, and there was no proof of any bias. So now the promotions can go forward, and I suspect and anticipate that the chief will move forward with the promotions right after Mardi Gras.
Which is great news, right? I mean, this has been going on far too long. These officers, waiting and held in abeyance, these allegations floating around. You know, it just seemed like it was a piling on, and there was always going to be something relative to this process.
Well, you know, again, so I think the process was halted, not because of any bias or because of any cheating, because the mayor didn't approve of who the top candidates were on the promotional list. And I don't know if that was the mayor's opinion or someone reached out to the mayor. But what I suspect is that, this was a political attempt to halt the promotions that had been put in place pursuant to the consent decree and all the protocols and everything, and everybody worked together. And at the 11th hour, after the results were in, the mayor didn't like who the top-rated candidates were, so she halted the process. And then we had these anonymous complaints that couldn't be verified. No one provided any substance to the proofs of cheating. And, the matter is now in the hands of the police chief, and she's given the green light to move forward with promotions. So justice is done, but it was delayed because of political meddling.
Well, Rafi, let me thank you for accommodating us today. I know it was kind of a moving target. We really appreciate you doing so. And as always, we appreciate your time, your insight. Have a great weekend, and we'll visit again next week.
Yep, thank you. All right, bye-bye.
All right, folks, 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line. When we come back, we'll check in with Scoot to see what he has coming your way. Scoot joins us. He's up next. What do we have coming up, Scoot?
Well, we'll talk about the press conference with Kellen Moore, the new head coach of the New Orleans Saints, and also Led Zeppelin has a movie that's opening up in theaters tomorrow, and we'll talk about that and how feminine Robert Plant used to be.
All righty, Scoot. Scoot's headed your way with a great lineup. Stay tuned. Hope you enjoyed today's show. We'll see you again tomorrow.